You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Amen. God is good. We're talking about life hacks, though. We're in this sermon series, and today I want to talk to you for a few moments about probably the most important one that we are going to talk about, and that is knowing God. There it is. And knowing God is the foundation for everything else in our life. Knowing God is where it all starts. And I'm talking about personally. I'm talking about intimately knowing God, having a relationship with Him. And today I want to talk to you for a few moments about how do we know God? How do we have a personal relationship with Him? I want you to know God always has more for you. No matter how long you've served God, He has more for you. And my prayer this year is that you would say, God, what are my next step? What is my next step? What are you calling me to do? My next step in my journey. We talked about this last week where the majority of Christians stop growing at 7 years after they've been saved. And my encouragement to you is I want to see you growing. I want to see you getting deeper with God, seeing all that God has for you. It's a process that begins when you first get saved and then continues your entire lifetime. I want to see you growing and learning more, digging into what God has for you. I hope that you don't stop getting to know God. I want to challenge you to be a person that's always asking, God, what is my next step? What are you asking me to do? And so many times we try to figure out the 50 next steps. We might say, well, I need to do 50 things. I have 10 resolutions this year. How many of you know when you have 10, if you fail? Because 10 is hard. It's a lot of work, right? All I'm asking you to do is, what is my next step? One step towards God. And I can tell you, when you make one step towards Him, man, He comes rushing after you. It's so incredible. It's how we grow as believers, one step at a time. My hope for you this year is found in Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. Let's bring that up. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, if I can talk today, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we want you to know God better. The eyes of understanding would be enlightened. I pray, man, if your eyes are dark because you don't have freedom in your life, the eyes of your heart, one of the most important things that we as believers and the gifts that God has given us is to bring freedom from the chains of the enemy. And God, I pray that this year would be a year where people find freedom like never before, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. So to discover purpose, I want you to discover who you are and why God created you the way that He made you and the riches of your glory and His inheritance and all the saints, that you make a difference in this world, that you use those giftings and those talents to make a difference. I want to help you know God better, help you to find freedom in areas of your life that you're needing freedom, to discover your purpose and to make a difference. This process happens one step at a time. What is the next step in your life? And we're talking about this series the next month. We're talking about life hacks. If you bring that definition up on the screen, what is a life hack? A life hack is a strategy or a technique adopted in order to manage one's time and daily activities in a more efficient way. What I want to point out to you is, what is God's spiritual life hacks? What's God done in His Word? What has He given us as far as tools to grow spiritually? I want us to take some time looking at that. We're looking at what are the life hacks that God has given us, the tools and the strategies that God's given us. So this morning I want to take time to talk about the foundation, knowing God, knowing who He is, having a deep personal relationship, an intimate relationship with the God of this universe. Knowing God on an intimate friendship level is my prayer for everyone. It amazes me when I stop and think about this. The God of the universe loves you so much that He wants to know you personally. He wants to know you intimately. He wants to know how you're feeling and what you're walking through. He knows you so intimately, and His prayer is that you would have that kind of heart towards Him. A good picture of knowing God can be found in, I read this scripture last week, but I want to read it again because it's so deep. Can be found in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8, a portion of scripture that is so deep. It's from the Message. And this was a portion of scripture that I encourage everyone to take some time out to look at that this last week. And again, if you didn't get a chance, I encourage you to just let this just pour over your heart and take some time. There's Jack. Jack, I want to give you this hat. Man, you are our engineer. Come on, let's give Jack and Loretta a hand.
And all my fellow
and all of his volunteers. He did such a great job. Do you know he starts working on that train in June? In June, right? February. February starts working on that train. Let's get a picture. Oh, let's give Jack another hand. Thank you and all the volunteers. We love you so much, Jack and Loretta. Thank you for all you do. He is the engineer of First Assembly, right? The train engineer. But back to that scripture. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. So getting to know Jesus. Once you get to know him, you understand everything that's been given to you. The best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you have turned your back on the world that's corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. Is that not a powerful scripture? I mean, it just is life-changing. Our focus, according to Peter, should be to know God personally. It's the first thing he said. And when you know God personally and you know him intimately, it unlocks incredible promises. It unlocks incredible growth. He cares about you personally. Sometimes we wonder, you know, the enemy does so much trying to convince us that God doesn't know who we are, God doesn't care, God's far away, and it's so opposite because God cares so deeply that he walks right beside you through every situation that you walk through. I love the fact that God wants to know us personally and intimately. I love the fact that God is not a one-size-fits-all God. He doesn't just go, I love everybody the same. He does love everybody the same, but I deal with everybody the same. It's a one-size-fits-all. No, he knows us personally and intimately. Out of the billions of people that have lived on this earth, he knows you personally. He cares about what he cares about each of us personally. He has an individual plan and an individual purpose for each one of us in this room. Out of the billions of people, it's amazing that God cares so much about you and me. That he loves us. He has that kind of capacity. And all it takes is us reaching out to him. All it takes is us making a step towards him. How does this play out corporately? In our church, corporately, we want to be a church that helps people get to know who God is. We need to unify around this concept. Our goal should be to help encourage and create an atmosphere where it's easy to know God. That is the foundation of every Christian, is to know him, to personally know him. We need to especially make room for people who have never given their lives to the Lord before. We need to be a church that says we welcome people who are lost and we want to help you to find God. We want this atmosphere to be so full of God's love that when somebody walks into this place, they are just baptized in his love, no matter what they look like, no matter where they've been, no matter what they're walking through. The moment they hear, it starts with you and me. It's each one of our jobs to show the love of God to people walking in our doors. Find people who need some love and pour it out on them. Amen? Walk in God's love. Let his love fill you to overflowing. In our church, the best time to show people how to know God is on Sunday morning. Our Sunday morning service is all about helping people know God, especially people who are unsaved. Sunday morning is the greatest time that we have to pour Jesus out on people. It is the best time where people will walk in our doors and experience Jesus. It all starts, though, with you inviting your friends to come. Do you know stats today say 65% of people would come to church if somebody just asked them? That's how they come in. There's even stats that are saying, you know, marketing and billboards and, I mean, all the stuff that churches try to do doesn't work today like a personal invite. That's why those cards are so important. Get them out. Second, when you get to church, keep in mind, our service is geared for the lost. We want to reach the lost, which means why we do our services a little bit different. We're going to do music that speaks to their heart. We're going to preach messages that reaches out. We are literally living in a world that has no Christian basis anymore. They don't know the Bible. They don't even, church is not even on their radar. And we want to be a place that reaches the lost. The flow of our services may be a little bit different. We have to realize that today to reach people, the only constant is change. So don't get used to things. We got to do whatever it takes. And it's really quiet. Anybody here with me to say whatever it takes, I want to reach the world? We aren't going to change the message. We aren't going to change the foundation of our church. We might change the method of how we do things. We're always studying our culture and studying churches around the country that are reaching people well, and we pull strategy from them. I need your help to do this effectively, though. It's not just about the pastor. It's about all of us coming together. It's about all of us being a place where people can feel the love of Jesus. And I can tell you this, if God will trust us with unsaved people, it means that we got to be ready for them. It means that we got to have a place. It means that nobody has assigned seats in this sanctuary. So don't ever ask anybody to move if somebody's sitting in your seat. Amen? There's no nameplates, all right? And I might have stepped on your toes. So if somebody's, you walk in and somebody's sitting in your seat, say, thank you, Jesus, and I'll find a different seat. You might need to anyways. God might be stretching you. So no names on seats. There's no seat assignments. In fact, if you want a seat assignment, I'll put you right up here by me, by the teacher, right? So if you want to, that's where people want seat assignments. Come up right here with me. We need people who will greet and ushers who will smile and work the nursery. And thank you for everybody that does that already. But I want this to be an oasis where people can walk in and they can experience what it means to know God. We all know God. I want people in the world to know God like we know Him. Look at it this way. If you're at a family gathering and one of your family members is missing, you will do everything it takes to find that family member. You're not going to just sit there and do the family gathering as normal. And church is not just about getting a bunch of Christians together, having a good time, having a praise party. It's about going after the lost. To think about, if you've ever lost a kid, anybody ever lost a kid before where you turn around and they're just gone? I remember with Julia, she was, I think, about 2 years old at Disneyland, or we were with a group of people, and all of a sudden we look and one of our kids is missing. And you know that feeling like, oh. I mean, like, all of a sudden, thankfully it was at Disneyland because, like, 10 Disneyland workers came out and found her right away. But I just could imagine all of a sudden you'll do whatever it takes to find that lost person, that lost child. And I want to be a church where we say, no matter what my preferences, no matter what I like, no matter what I think, it's all about reaching the lost. And I will go and I will do whatever it takes to help people to know God. Anybody with me? There are people who are missing and lost. Amen. You want a service for believers? Come on Wednesday night. That's where we dig deeper. That's the night for believers to come and get depth. And you know what? There's about 80 people here on Wednesday night. There should be about 300 people here on Wednesday night. Make Wednesday night a priority. Be here. We are going through some great stuff this year. Wednesday night is an awesome service. If you're wanting to go deeper, that's where we go deeper. So I want to take this back to make it personal. How do we know God? What are the life hacks that God has given us to know Him better? I want to share with you three, and I'm going to go real quick. So buckle your seatbelts and hang on. Life hack number one, salvation is the starting point. Getting saved. Truly knowing who God is. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We also see in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Sin entered this world, separated us from God. From that point forward, every one of us faces an eternal death sentence if we don't give our lives to Jesus. The only way to be saved is through Him and accepting that free gift of salvation. Free gift of salvation is found in Romans 5:8. It shows God's great love, but God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So how do we accept this free gift? Romans 10:19 tells us, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is more than just coming and sitting in a pew. Anyone can come to church. It doesn't make them saved. Salvation is when you make that decision and you say, Jesus, I am giving you my life. There was a man that I met in Port Angeles, and I've told you this story before. He had sat in church for 5 years. Never had been given the chance to give his life to the Lord. Well, you know me, every service we do, we always give a chance for people to get to know who Jesus is. He had sat in the pews. And literally, I gave the altar call, and he gave his life to Jesus, turned his life around. He made that decision. 1 month later, he died. Now, what's cool to me is you're right. Clap, because he's in heaven. You have to make that decision. You have to make that decision. Just being a good person, just coming to church week after week, if you have not made that decision, you're not saved. So today is your day. And sometimes we have to put our pride away and we just go, God, I need you. I need you. I need to make that decision to give my life to you. Another thing that's so important about salvation is life transformation. Jesus wants to transform your life. Once you're saved, you don't keep going back to the old junk over and over again. It's time for salvation. It's time for transformation. God has so much more for you. If life transformation was not part of your salvation experience, get on your knees and say, Lord, transform me from the inside out, because God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you. You have to make the decision. I'm not going back to my old lifestyle. I'm not going to let sin separate me anymore. And what I'm challenging us with as we go through these life hacks, pick one to focus on. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. Today's your day. Life hack number two, dig into Scripture. I am so excited about how many people are reading through the Bible with us this year on the SOAP plan. Reading the Bible and applying it to your life is a vital part of growing in your spiritual journey. Maybe this is your next step. Making that decision to say, this year, I will read through the Bible cover to cover. I guarantee you it will change your life. How many of you did it this past year? Look at that. Oh, my word, you guys. How awesome. That is great. And I can tell you there's so much more that God has for you. Our SOAP plan, this information, you can pick it up out in the hallway after the service. It gives you the verses to read. It's about 15 minutes a day. It'll change your life. Listen to what 3:16-17 says. All Scripture is God-breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof from correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It's amazing how God's word will become alive in your life. You can read the Scripture because it's living. So you could read the same Scripture 20 times, and on the 21st time it comes alive to you in a different way because it's exactly what you needed at that point. That's why I think maybe the next step for some of us might be, God, I'm going to read the Bible through every year of my life, and I'm going to get new information about you. Scripture can speak exactly to where you're at. Reading the Bible daily is where you get connected to God's promises. It's important to know that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, you might say, Pastor, all I can read is one verse a day to really get it and apply it. That's all I want you to read then. It doesn't matter. You might say, well, I'm trying to get through this. I'm trying to get through it. And you're just checking it off the list. And that's not how I want you to approach Bible reading. If you say, Pastor, all I can do is one verse a day, and really I can get that down and apply it, I encourage you to do that. Because Scripture needs to be applied in our lives. Get what you can get. Let it be applied. And it might be two Scriptures a day. You might say, Pastor, I'm not a great reader. Then get on your Bible app, and it will read it to you. You can listen, right? You can listen. Don't let any excuses. Guys, sometimes we're not great readers. Sometimes the guys in the room, you're like, man, I struggle with reading. Then listen to it. Let God's word get down inside of your heart. James 1:22-25 tells us, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Let God's word be applied to your life. Life hack number three. God makes this available to us. Make prayer a priority. So salvation, getting into scripture, making prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is such a powerful life hack. Being able to pray is an incredible gift that we have been given where we can communicate with God. You don't have to have the right words. It's all about the right heart. Just getting before God daily and just having that conversation with Him. Prayer is simply talking and communicating with God. And I know some people go, well, I feel like I'm just talking into the air. You keep talking, and I guarantee you that air will become electric because God's Spirit will drop upon you, and He'll start speaking to you, and He'll start changing your life. So you keep talking. It doesn't matter if people are looking at you like, man, he's talking to himself. Yeah, I am talking to myself. As long as I don't answer myself, right? Let God speak. But prayer is not only communicating to God, but it's also listening. Take some time out to listen to what God is saying in your life. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts on prayer, and then we'll be done. Prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. You can stay connected to God throughout your full day in prayer. You don't have to go, well, here's my 5 minutes to talk to God, and that's all. That's like, and I said it Wednesday night. That's like the old internet dial-up, right, where you go, and it like takes forever to get online. But see, here's, prayer's not like dial-up, the old internet. Prayer is like DSL, where you can be connected to God 24/7. You just flip on, and you get connected, get into His presence, amen? Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord. Prayer and the Bible connect us to God and help us to grow spiritually. Listen to what Psalms 145:18 says. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon the truth. So call upon Him and He's near to you. Hello. Must be sports teams. I want you to know too, God always answers prayer. Always. Don't ever wonder if God answers prayer. He does it in one of three ways. He says yes, He says no, and He says wait. God always answers your prayer. He's always hearing. We don't like the wait thing, do we? We don't like the wait. When God tells us to wait, we don't like that. When God tells us no, we don't like that, right? But you have to trust Him enough that He knows what He's doing. So what I want, how do we make prayer a lifestyle? First, set time every day to have an appointment with God. Every day, Lord, here's my appointment. You might be so busy that you're down to the hours where you're scheduling people in. Put an appointment on your calendar that says an appointment with God and spend an hour a day praying. It will change your life. You might go, an hour is a long time. I guarantee you. Then go a half hour. I don't care how long you do it. Make that appointment with God. Second, go away to a quiet place and put all distractions away. Put your phones away. Put your music away. Just focus on Him and listen to Him for a little bit. Third, have a plan. Go in with a plan. This is my prayer plan. We're talking about all of this on Wednesday nights for this month. Don't miss it. All of this. We talked about the plan last Wednesday. In fact, there's a prayer guide out on our racks today that you can pick up. And it's a journal that you can track all of your prayer requests for this year, and you can track how God answers them. Wednesday night prayer. Maybe if prayer is saying, God, that's my next step. I need to get into prayer. Then get there. Today I want to encourage you. Know God. I want to wrap us up with one video and then we'll be done. Just three more minutes. I know we've gone a little bit long today and I apologize for that. Wasn't the Kenyan music beautiful? So real quick, 3 minutes. I want to pray for you and you'll be done. This is how I hope that you will know God. One of the most incredible short sermons I've ever heard. Let's play it, guys.
The Bible says, my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are amazing. We give you praise. Lord God, we thank you that you are all of those things. And God, I pray that we would know you more and know you better this year, God. Lord, show people in this room what the next step is. I want to give you one opportunity before this service is over. If you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity right now. Just lift your hand. If you're in this room, you haven't done it yet today. You'd say, Pastor, I need to do that right now. Thank you, thank you. Lift your hand if that's you. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Will you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Today I make you the king of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving me a second chance. Forgive me of my sins. Today I say, Lord, you drive. This morning, before you go, if you raise your hand for salvation, we have tables at the back of the room. We have a Bible. We have CDs that we want to give you, help you to know with that decision that you made. Stop by there on the way out. Can we all stand? I want to pray a blessing over you, Jesus. I thank you that this is the year we're going to know you better, better than ever before, God. I thank you that you have more for us. Lord, I thank you that, God, you want to do such incredible things in our life. I pray you'd bless your people. You'd show them favor. I pray your face would shine upon them. Lord, I pray your hand would go before them. God, I thank you that you are incredible. God, I pray you bless people this week. Lord, be with them in your name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for hanging in there. Have an awesome day. We'll see you on Wednesday. Walk in victory.